tonight for the fact that you are the one who saves and not we ourselves. And we thank you for your grace and your salvation that you give to us. And Lord, we just thank you for this night that we have been able to come together to pray and to look into your word and to recalibrate our minds and our thinking through this midweek time. And we just pray, Father, that you would truly help us to come away from this night refreshed as well as encouraged and challenged. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I was going to pick for the night's psalm that I thought would go, not psalm, but proverb that I thought might go a little better, was "Work for the Night is Coming." I don't know how many of you remember that song, but we didn't have that one in our repertoire of our videos, so we went with this one tonight. But anyway, if you will turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 14, and we will be looking at Proverbs 14:4, but I wanted to just read the first five verses tonight. Proverbs 14:1, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness utters lies." Now, we have in this chapter, it begins a lot like the others do, and that is a contrast with the wicked and the righteous, or the wise and the foolish. We see in verse 1 the contrast between the wise woman and the foolish woman. And then in Proverbs 14:2, we see the upright versus the perverse. And then in verse 3, we see the mouth of a fool versus the lips of the wise. And then in verse 5, we have a faithful witness versus a false witness. And then verse 4 is really, it appears at least, to be somewhat of an oddity in the middle of these verses. It does not appear to have any type of moral connotation to it, except perhaps between scarcity and plenty. If we look at this again, "Where no oxen are, the trough is clean," or the manger is clean, "but much increase comes by the strength of an ox." So at first you might wonder what exactly this is referring to, or what the story, or what the moral of this verse is. And there are a couple of different angles that we could look at it from, and we will tonight. But first, let's take a couple of minutes or a few minutes just to look here at an ox. An ox, along with other livestock, was a measure of wealth and status and resources and power. Job 1:3 states that his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. An ox was one of the strongest of the domesticated animals that was available. And an ox was known, and we see it in this verse here. It says, "But the increase comes by the strength of an ox." So we see here that the ox gets a lot done. The ox is something that is very strong. And we also have this idea of the ox being a part of wealth. If we turn back to Psalm 144, verses 11 through 14 or through 15, it says, "Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in place and play in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out. Now, that is, that our walls are secure and our doors are secure, that there be no outcry in our streets, that our streets are safe. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So we see here that oxen are a picture of, or are among, are in the picture, I should say, of a secure city. They are a place, or they are an animal that produces goods. They are an animal that produces crops because of their hard work that they're able to do. Then we also see in Revelation that the revelation, we had the four living creatures, one being a man, one being an eagle, one being a lion, and the other one being an ox representing strength. And if we look down through some other known scriptures about an ox, we can see some well-known ones. One is Deuteronomy 25:4 that says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain." So here the picture is that if the ox wants to eat some grain as it's working, that we should not prevent it from doing so. And then that verse is quoted twice by Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:9, as well as 1 Timothy 5:18, in arguing that the ministers of the gospel should also partake, should be able to live physically off the gospel or from the gospel, from the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Now we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 9 later on. But a couple of other verses, again, just to get a little bit of a feel for an ox, is that when Samuel was maintaining his integrity before the people when they wanted a king, he asked them, among other things, in 1 Samuel 12:3, "Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey, or who have I cheated?" And he asked them this question when they were desiring a king. And then, of course, just a few chapters over, Samuel asked the question to Saul when he was ordered to take out the Amalekites and all of their possessions, including their livestock. And he asked Saul why he had not done so, and Saul claimed that he had. And then Samuel claimed, "Then what is that bleating of sheep and lowing of oxen which I hear?" So, and then also we have in Isaiah 1:3, "The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, nor my people consider." So we have here a lot of different verses, and then also we have in Isaiah 11:7, "The lion shall eat straw like an ox." Okay, so we have a lot of verses in the scripture, all throughout scripture, especially in the Old Testament, then even into the New Testament, where an ox is discussed quite frequently, along with the other domesticated animals that are used for agriculture and farming. So really, so we look at this verse then, the question still comes, is what is this verse trying to say exactly? "Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox." Well, we can see obviously that we have the ox produces a lot of increase, and if there is no food in the manger, then there won't be any increase, there won't be any food, or there won't be any produce. But we really have two takes on this that we can look at. First of all, I could say that following the Lord and living according to his righteousness leads to plenty. And by not following the Lord, it leads to scarcity. And of course, this is all throughout Scripture. You know, it's all throughout Deuteronomy, especially talking about if you obey the Lord, then you will have, your crops will be full, and you will have plenty to have. You will have plenty to eat. And then of course, we have the picture of an Amos. If we look back in Amos chapter 4, we have the opposite picture, where the people were not obeying the Lord. And so we have a picture here of scarcity, because they were not following the Lord as they should have. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It says, I also gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. Now, the idea of cleanness of teeth means that if you're not eating, your teeth are clean. So, and a lack of bread in all of your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I also withhold rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city, I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where did not rain, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So we see here then that if we are not walking with the Lord, or if we do not have righteousness, that the that there will not be plenty. There will not be food to eat. And so this idea could be looked at here in chapter verse 4. If there are no oxen, then the manger is clean. There is no food in the manger. But the opposite of that is, the contrast is, that much increase comes by the strength of an ox. If there is food in the manger for the ox to eat, then there is plenty. So that is one take on it. Matthew Henry had an interesting take, though, and that is that work produces plenty, whereas reticence produces scarcity. As we mentioned earlier there, that in Amos, that if it could be a part of the son of the Lord, but this picture of cleanness, or this picture of the manger being clean, is corresponding with the teeth being clean, from not eating, that the manger is also clean, so that there's not any food, there's no farm life. And if we look at farm life, if we look at agriculture, we know that it can be kind of a dirty job. We always have things like we have farming, and we have food, and of course, if we feed livestock, and the more livestock we have, the more food we require, and the more food that they eat, the more dung that there is to clean up after. And so farming can be sort of it's hard work, but it also can be a very messy job as well. Going through all the chores of keeping the animals clean, and keeping them fed, and keeping the manger or the troughs clean, can be somewhat of a dirty job. And as well as working the land. If we look back at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So we have the idea here that work, like the ant who provides, that is much like the work of a farmer. The farmer is always working, especially of livestock. A farmer is always trying to gather up food, is always trying to plan, is always trying to plant, is storing its food for the winter. Storing their food for the winter, and not only their food, but the food for the country as well, or other people's food. So we have this idea here of a job that is always needing to be done. It's never done. The farmer's work is never done, as there's a constant cycle of feeding and cleaning up. But that is the cycle. You got dirty, there are smells, there's manual labor, and there's a lot to keep organized as a farmer. But the payoff is that you have an increase and you have produce, and that was created by the strength of an ox. Now, there's an alternative that if you did not like that sort of thing, that is a clean manger, if you like a nice clean barn, if you like a nice barn with no food in it, if you like a barn with no dung in it, if you like a barn with that's nice and crystal clean, that's nice, but there's only one problem with that. You're not going to have any oxen to work the land, and therefore you're not going to have any produce. Now, we can look at also that we can look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. It says something similar to the ant. Proverbs 12, 11 says, "The wicked covet the mountain." The wicked, actually, that's not the right verse I was looking at. I was looking for the one that says that the he who works his land will have plenty, but he who does not will suffer loss. Actually, the wicked covet the catch of evil man, but the root of righteousness yields fruit. That's not the verse I was looking for. But anyway, the one who works his land, and of course working land, will have pleasure, will not have pleasure, but he will have hard work, but he will end up having a harvest. So that's one take on it. And really sort of a third spin-off on that is that ministry can also be like that as well, or our lives in general. And really we can live our lives that way as far as having a clean manger, a clean barn, with no messes to clean up. We can play it safe, not get involved in ministry, not get involved in other people's lives, stay to ourselves, keep our mangers and stalls clean, so to speak. Interesting, Matthew Henry had a quote that says, "We keep more horses than cattle and more dogs than swine." So in other words, we have animals that are domesticated and what we might call rich animals, so to speak, but yet we don't have any animals that produce anything or that enable anything to happen as far as actual work is concerned. So we have that idea, as we mentioned earlier, that we were going to be looking at 1 Corinthians as far as ministry is concerned. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8 says, "Do I say these things as a man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain.' Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more?" So Paul was saying here that there is something about ministry. They are plowing, so to speak. They are working in ministry. They are working spiritual things. They are teaching. They are working with the people. They are bearing spiritual fruit. So then should they not be a part of the physical fruit as well? And the idea again here is that ministry is hard work. Ministry, I heard a pastor say a couple weeks ago that ministry can be messy. Ministry can be messy. And when we say ministry can be messy, we mean simply this. Ministry involves people. And people, being sinners, we are not always easy to deal with. Sometimes we have problems. Wherever we're at, we have issues. And so ministry can be not always clean cut and clean and dry. It can be very difficult. It can be very complex at times. So where do we get all this? Coming back here to kind of tie this together, back in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 4, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, or the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. Okay, so we basically have three things we can look at here, as we've mentioned, just briefly. First of all, it could mean the issue of plenty versus the issue of scarcity because of either following the Lord and being blessed or not following the Lord and having scarcity and not having food in the produce or a harvest. So that could be one issue that this verse is talking about, one interpretation of it. The other one is that that farming or food production, produce, a harvest, requires hard work. It requires sometimes messy work. And if you are not willing to produce the work, as other proverbs talk about, like the ant or working your land, then you will not gain any kind of harvest. So no work, no food. That's a pretty simple concept as well. And then the third option is that we could look at, and it kind of goes along with that, is we could apply this to our own lives and our own ministry, whether it be in the church or whether it be with ourselves. If we live lives that are clean, if we live lives that are sanitary, so to speak, and do not involve people, that do not minister to people, then we so-called will be clean. But there will not be any increase, or there will not be any fruit in ministry. And there will not be any blessing in ministry. Because whether it's a farm that produces produce, whether it's work that produces an outcome or fruit, or whether it's ministry, as Paul mentioned in his letters to Timothy and to the Corinthians, there will be no blessing if we're not willing to work and if we're not willing to get involved and if we're not willing to get dirty, so to speak. We need to be able to work and we need to be able to be involved in other people's lives and we need to be able to also follow the Lord. So those are the three options or possibilities that we're looking at with this particular proverb. Okay, any questions?